This New Year's Eve, get ready for the ultimate crossover celebration. The Liberty Church Global invites you to join us at one of our three events in either London at the O2 Intercontinental, the Grand Hotel in Birmingham, or at the Landmark Center, Lagos, Nigeria. Join Dr. Shola Fola Alade and an incredible lineup of guest artists, including Sumi Sola Agbebi, Dare Justified, Prince Emmanuel, and many more. London, Birmingham, or Lagos, you're covered. Start your 2026 with a bang. Doors open at 8 p.m. in the UK and 10 p.m. in Lagos. Head to tlccrossover.com/radio now to grab your free tickets. Three cities, one unforgettable night. Register for your free tickets. tlccrossover.com/radio now.
Lucas on Life.
Hello and welcome to Lucas on Life, right here on Premier Christian Radio. And just in case you haven't noticed, it's just three more sleeps until Christmas Eve. This is the time of the year when we hear so much about the beautiful story of the Nativity. But the truth is, it is the wonderful story, but it's also so familiar. We're rather used to hearing about angels and shepherds and mangers and Bethlehem, and of course, most beautifully, the baby Jesus. The challenge is, we know it so well that perhaps it doesn't make quite the same impact. And then the message of Christmas can be lost because of all of the kerfuffle that goes on around it. E.B. White, who wrote Charlotte's Web, once lamented, "To perceive Christmas through its wrapping becomes more difficult with every year." Christmas seems to start so early. For me, it can feel like we start seeing Christmas trees and decorations just slightly after Easter, although I'm sure that's an exaggeration. But then it comes and goes so quickly. And again, it can all be a blur. It's estimated that the average person eats 7,000 calories on Christmas Day. Wow. And then there's all that shopping. I'm sure many of us have got that one relative who's always so difficult to buy for. People do some strange things, wear really dodgy sweaters, and watch movies that we've seen dozens of times. And yet the endings never change, do they? Some historically have despised Christmas. Did you know that in England, Christmas was banned for 16 years? The Parliament of the day, obviously populated by miseries and killjoys, decided in 1644 that Christmas trees and decorations were unholy and pagan. And so Christmas was literally cancelled, and town criers walked through the streets on Christmas Eve, calling out, "No Christmas, no Christmas," and the ban wasn't lifted until 1660. We know that some understandably find Christmas difficult. There's that empty seat at the table, the memories of previous Christmases, which perhaps were so happy, but can feel bleak. But now the season feels rather bleak. My own father passed away just before Christmas, and so whenever I hear Christmas music, there's always a sense of joy mingled with tears. Well, however we feel about it, I'd like to look at the Christmas story from a slightly different angle this week. And this week and next week, look at the character of Joseph, Mary's husband. Let's face it, you don't often see him on those Christmas cards, do you? We see this glow-in-the-dark, mildly fluorescent Mary who looks serenely unlike any of us. Jesus is, in some cases, sitting up already. He's only been born 20 minutes earlier, but apparently is already chatting with the wise men and thanking them for coming to his party. I'm not being irreverent, but that's how some Christmas cards seem to portray him. And then he is surrounded by grinning cows and donkeys, all perfectly behaved and nestling in Chanel No. 5 smelling hay. But poor old Joseph the carpenter, he's never to be seen. Maybe he's out the back fixing a wonky coffee table or something. He really is the consummate unsung hero. The stepfather of Jesus is only mentioned 16 times in the gospel records, not at all in the Gospel of Mark. Matthew doesn't mention him after chapter 2. Luke ignores him after chapter 4. John only mentions Joseph twice. And in the Gospels, Joseph never speaks a word. We hear what he thinks. We discover what he does. But he never actually says anything that's recorded. So why should we consider him this week and next, right here on Premier Christian Radio? Well, the Bible views Joseph as important. There are exhaustive details about his family background. Matthew traces his lineage back through David to Abraham. Luke traces his origin right back to Adam. He's a man of the supernatural, having four crucial, pivotal dreams. He's also a young man of great maturity. Some commentators put his age at somewhere between 18 and 20. But what I really want to focus on this week and next is the truth that Joseph was a righteous man. That's how the Bible describes him. Joseph, righteous. So let's talk about him. Husband to Mary, and the man described as being righteous. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, we read, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Righteous. What does that mean? Well, first of all, I'd like to suggest that righteous people are really kind people. The same adjective, righteous, is used to describe Zacharias and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, and then Simeon in Luke chapter 2. There are a lot of people described as being righteous in the nativity event. But that word, it needs some rehabilitation, doesn't it? You see, righteous, it can sound like a stern, Victorian, ramrod upright, an unbending individual at first glance. Certainly not a chap you'd like to be around at a party. And let's face it, some Christians give righteousness a bad name with their inability to laugh, their intensity about all things spiritual. They are, to quote Mark Twain, good in the worst possible way. If I can be blunt, I've met a few Christians in my time who really appear to be mildly constipated. They never have fun. They profess to have joy, but it's really deep, 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 deep joy. One senses one would have to have a nuclear explosion to excavate some of that joy. Called righteousness can blind people to people. So intent are they on doing the right thing that they forget mercy and compassion. Alexandra Adornetto has said, "Righteous people are always exhausting to have around." But that's not true if we understand that righteousness equals kindness. And Joseph, again, is revealed as being kind. He has this really awkward conversation with Mary. She says, "Joe, I've got something to tell you." "What's that, honey?" he inquires. "Well, I'm pregnant." What? I mean, just imagine Joseph's reaction. Put yourself in his sandals for a moment. He's engaged to a virgin. How could this be possible? "What on earth has happened?" he inquires. "Well," she says, "there was this angel." Do we think that Joseph said, "Oh, okay, right, well, that explains everything"? Understandably, it is obvious that he was very suspicious. But he was a man of kindness, warmth, and heart, as well as conviction. It's been said that as a good Jew, he would have shown his zeal if he had branded her with public disgrace. And if he had done that, she could have been tagged as an adulteress and even stoned as a result. But Joseph made choices of kindness. He wanted to end the relationship, but he wanted to do it quietly, to protect her. He's confused, bewildered, but it's been said that Joseph had a short but tragic struggle between his legal conscience and his love. But thankfully, love won the day. Let's not be one of those so-called righteous people who never look to redeem imperfect and messy situations and just come crashing in with a thunderous Bible verse or three instead. And let's be nervous about becoming picky and critical, because that can develop into an addictive behavior pattern. John Bradshaw has said, condemning others as bad or sinful is a way to feel righteous. Such a feeling is a powerful mood alteration and can become highly addictive. But kindness, well, that can turn heads and change hearts. Righteous people, they're kind because being righteous is about more than being right. Joseph, the husband of Mary, generally, but also the specific truth that he is described in the New Testament as a righteous man. But what does that mean? We've seen that being righteous in Joseph's case, it meant that he was kind and he was considerate. But I also want to suggest that righteous people can change their minds. You see, when Joseph heard the stunning, confusing, bewildering news that his fiancée was pregnant, we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. When it says he had in mind, the word there is very intentional. He determined. One translation is he resolved. He made up his mind. And the plan was a quiet divorce. Now, you might be thinking, but they're not married yet, so why are they getting divorced? Well, engagement or betrothal, to use the Bible word, was a serious matter in Jesus' day. In New Testament times, a man like Joseph became formally betrothed or engaged when he gave a gift to his future wife, and then he would say these words, "By this thou art set apart for me according to the laws of Moses and of Israel." And then marriage vows were declared at the betrothal, and only divorce could end them. And then there would be an interval, usually a year, before the betrothed could come together as husband and wife and begin a full marital relationship. And it was during that interval that Mary was found to be expecting. So Joseph, surely not understanding what's really going on, he decides he needs to quietly end this relationship. But then he has a dream. And we read in Matthew 1:24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. In other words, Joseph had made up his mind. He'd determined to go in one direction, but God said, "No, you've got that wrong. Go in this direction." Joseph thought he was doing the right thing, but he was willing to say, "I am wrong." So-called righteous people are not always so good at that. Neil Gaiman has said, "There's never been a true war that wasn't fought between two sets of people who were certain they were in the right. The really dangerous people believe they are doing whatever they are doing solely and only because it is without question the right thing to do. And that's what makes them dangerous," so Gaiman says. Wow. Aren't we seeing that these days, where in politics it seems that dialogue is rare and a lot of folks just tend to shout at each other, never thinking for a moment that they might possibly be wrong in any aspect of their convictions. You know, there are three words that can really help us in relationships, in marriage, in friendship, in church life, in the workplace. Three words to a better life. They go like this: I was wrong. But Leonard Ravenhill has said, the self-righteous never apologize. Joseph, a righteous man, was willing to admit that he was going in the wrong direction, change his mind, and change his actions. Let's not be those who thinly disguise arrogance as conviction and confidence. Again, three words to a better future: I was wrong. We've been thinking about the character of Joseph this evening, and we will, yes, return to him again next weekend. Joseph, the husband to Mary, this man described as being righteous. And I mentioned earlier that righteousness, as a word, it needs some rehabilitation. Joseph was kind. You know, I've been thinking about a group of people named the Pharisees. We see them in the Gospels. We hear them constantly accusing Jesus, being picky, very aggressive, actually scheming to bring about his downfall. They would have considered themselves to be incredibly righteous, and yet there was a total absence of kindness. Righteousness is about being kind. And then we've seen there's an ability to be able to change our minds and admit that we got it wrong. Again, Joseph was going in entirely the wrong direction. Perhaps there's an area in our lives where we've been shouting loudly because we don't want to hear anybody else's perspective. Or maybe we simply need to hold up our hands and admit that we got it wrong, apologize, and move forward to a better day. You see, again, being righteous, it's about more than being right. God bless you and have a very happy Christmas.
Lucas on Life.
This New Year's Eve, get ready for the ultimate crossover celebration. The Liberty Church Global invites you to join us at one of our three events in either London at the O2 Intercontinental, the Grand Hotel in Birmingham, or at the Landmark Centre, Lagos, Nigeria. Join Dr. Shola Fola-Alladay and an incredible lineup of guest artists, including Sumi Sola Agbebi, Dare Justified, Prince Emmanuel, and many more. London, Birmingham, or Lagos, you're covered. Start your 2026 with a bang. Doors open at 8 p.m. in the UK and 10 p.m. in Lagos. Head to tlccrossover.com/radio now to grab your free tickets. Three cities, one unforgettable night. Register for your free tickets. tlccrossover.com/radio now.